Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shkalim, Perek Gimel. After completing the description of the collection of Shkalim and of the Trumat HaLishka in the last two prakim, this perek focuses on several important topics which relate to these procedures. The first part of the perek discusses an added fee called a kolbon, which sometimes needs to be given along with the machatzita shekel. After that, the perek addresses questions of responsibility when a machatzita shekel is sent to the mikdash with a courier and is lost or stolen on the way, and proceeds from there to other cases when something goes wrong, intentionally or not, in the process of separating, giving, or sending to Hekdesh one's machatzita shekel. Halacha Aleph. Chatzayei ha-shkalim, hakol tzrichin lehem, כדי שייתן כל אחד ואחד חצי שקל שהוא חייב. לפיכך, כשהיה אדם הולך אצל השולחני ומצרף שקל בשני חצאים, ייתן לו תוספת על השקל, ואותה תוספת נקראת קולבון. לפיכך, שניים שנתנו שקל על שניהם חייבים בקולבון. Half shekel coins were in high demand, due to the mitzvah of מחצית השקל. Recall from Perek Aleph that the mitzvah must be performed at once and not in installments. Therefore, if someone asks a coin changer, a shulchani, to give him two half-shekel coins in exchange for a single shekel coin, the shulchani will charge a fee for this service. This fee is called a kolbon. The exact amount will be addressed in Halacha Zayin. So if two people, Reuven and Shimon, fulfill together their mitzvah of machzita shekel by giving Hekdesh a full shekel coin, they are spared the payment of this fee to the shulchani, and instead must give it to Hekdesh. It is entirely possible that Hekdesh will need to convert the full shekel into two halves when they spend it, and they should not need to bear the cost of this transaction just because Reuven and Shimon decided to donate together. We note that other Rishonim understand differently both the reason for the added fee of kolbon and the scope of the requirement to pay it. According to Rashi and Tosfot, the reason for the kolbon has nothing to do with changing a shekel into two half shkalim. Rather, it is due to a concern that any half-shekel coin may contain less than the required amount of silver, and the kolbon is meant to make up the possible deficit. In other words, this is simply an added tax across the board to the donation of machzita shekel. So contrary to the opinion of the Rambam, for these Rishonim, even one who contributes a machzita shekel by itself, not a full shekel together with someone else, must add a kolbon. And if two people donate a shekel together, each one must pay his own kolbon for a total of two kolbonot. The next few halachot discuss cases where one is exempt from kolbon, and here too we will see a difference between the opinions of the Rambam and other Rishonim. Halacha bet. Kol mi sheino chayav bashkalim, kigon shtei nashim o shnei avadim shnatnu shekel, peturin mina kolbon. וכן אם היה אחד חייב ואחד פטור, ונתן החייב על ידי הפטור, כגון איש שנתן שקל עליו ועל אישה הוא עבד, פטור מן הקולבון. וכן הכהנים פטורים מן הקולבון, והשוקל על ידי הכהן פטור מן הקולבון. The added fee of a kolbon is only imposed on two people who are obligated in machzit ha-shekel and give it together in the form of a shekel coin. But if both are exempt and give voluntarily, like two women, or even if one is chayav in this mitzvah and gives a full shekel on behalf of himself and someone who is pater, like a husband who gives a full shekel on behalf of himself and his wife, then this fee is waived. Since the half shekel or full shekel itself is voluntary in these cases, we don't impose an additional fee on the donation. In the last case, when the person who is chayav gives on behalf of himself and someone who is patur, the Rambam exempts the shekel donation completely from kolbon. This is consistent with his understanding that ordinarily a single kolbon is paid for an entire shekel as a fee for the shulchani. But for the other Rishonim we discussed in the last halacha, who consider kolbon to be a tax on every half shekel, in this case, the chayav person must still give one kolbon for himself, but he does not need to add this tax to the machzita shekel of the partner who is pater. We saw in Perek Aleph that even though kohanim are chayavim in machzita shekel, we do not take collateral from any kohen who doesn't pay, as a courtesy which is done mipnei darchei shalom. For the same reason, kohanim are exempt from kolbon, and anyone who gives a full shekel on behalf of himself together with a coin is similarly exempt from kolbon. Halacha Gimel. Hanotein shekel alav v'al he'ani, o al shecheno, o al beniro, im netano lehem matana, patur mina kolbon, sharei natan chatzi shekel matana kedei laharbot bishkalim. ואם נתן להם החצי ששקל על ידם דרך הלוואה, עד שיחזירו לו כשתמצא ידם, חייב בקולבון. If one gives a full shekel on behalf of himself, together with someone else, like a neighbor or an ani, who is also chayiv in machzit shekel, and he does this as a gift, not expecting to be repaid, then he is exempt from kolbon, just like in the cases in the last halacha. But if he gives the additional machzit shekel as a loan, expecting to be repaid by the neighbor or the ani, when this becomes possible, then this is just like any two chayav people who give a shekel jointly, and he must add a kolbon. Other Rishonim would say, in these cases, that the giver certainly must add at least one kolbon for his own machzit shekel, and the distinction between giving the other machzit shekel as a gift or as a loan determines only whether he must pay a second kolbon for the other machzit shekel. Halacha Dalet. Ha'achim sha'adayin lo chalku ma shiniach lehen abihen, v'chein ha'shutafin sh'natnu shekel al yidei shnehen, peturim min ha'kolbon. B'me devarim amurim, b'shutafin sh'nasu v'natnu bim'ot ha'shutafut, v'nishtana ein ha'ma'ot. אבל אם הביא זה מאותיו, וזה מאותיו, וערבום, ועדיין לא נשתנו המאות ולא הוציאום, הרי אלו חייבים בקולבון. The Rambam brings here two further cases of exemption from kolbon. The first is the case of two brothers who inherit from their deceased father, and donate a full shekel from the estate before the estate is formally divided between them. Since the estate has not been formally divided, we view this as if the father is still alive and gives a full shekel on behalf of both of his sons without expecting to be compensated. As we saw in Halacha Gimel, there is no fee of kolbon in this case. The other case which the Rambam exempts from kolbon is when two partners, shutafim, give a full shekel from their jointly owned money. The exemption in this case is more difficult to understand, and most Rishonim disagree, including the Ravid in his Asagi here. The Ravid explains that the Rambam evidently had a different girsa in the Mishnah and Masechet Shkalim about the first case of the brothers. Our girsa in the Mishnah is ha'achim ha'shutafim, meaning brothers who share jointly in their father's estate are exempt from kolbon. The Rambam must have had the girsa of ha'achim ve'hashutafim, meaning that these are two different cases, brothers inheriting their father, and regular business partners, in both of which there is an exemption from kolbon. The rationale to exempt the shutfim seems to be that they are considered like a single individual, not in the sense that they only have to pay one machzit shekel between the two of them. Of course they have to pay separately. But in the sense that the full shekel they donate is not considered to be a combination of two half shkalim, because it comes from joint property. This is why the Rambam requires that nishtana ein hama'ot. The shutfim are exempt from kolbon only if the original money that each partner contributed to the partnership has already been spent, and the money they now share is the product of their joint business venture. Halacha Hey adds that if the brothers or shutfim are joint owners of other property in addition to money, like animals, then even after they split the other property between them, they are still exempt from kolbon as long as the money remains under joint ownership. Conversely, if they split the money between them, they are obligated in kolbon even if they retain joint ownership of the other property. Halacha Vav. Hanotein shekel lahekdesh kidei shiachshavu lo machatzit shekel shu chayav ba, v'ito chatzi shekel mash nigba min hachatzayim, chayav shnei kolbonot, she'ilu haya shekel kulo lishkalim, haya chayav kolbon echad. If one gives a full shekel to hekdesh and asks for half a shekel to be returned to him as change, he must pay two kolbonot. One is because he paid with a full shekel rather than half a shekel, as we explained earlier. And the other is because Hekdesh pays him half a shekel. We essentially view a half shekel coin as a commodity, which costs half a shekel plus a kolbon, as this is the amount one would have to pay to obtain a half shekel coin from a shulchani. Therefore, one must pay an extra kolbon in this case because he receives a half shekel coin as change from Hekdesh. Halacha Zayin. Kama hu shiur ha kolbon? בזמן שהיו נותנים במחצית השקל שני דינרים, היה קורבון חצי מאה, שהוא אחד משניים עשר בדינר, ומעולם לא ניתן הקורבון פחות מזה, והקורבונות אינן כשקלים, אלא מניחים אותן השולחנים בפני עצמן עד שיסתפק מהן ההקדש. This halacha concludes the discussion of kolbon by explaining how much it is and what it was used for. The minimal value of the kolbon is half a ma'a. Recall from Perek Aleph that a sela is 24 ma'ot, and therefore half a ma'a is 1/24 of half a sela, that is, the standard machzit shekel after the value of what the Torah calls a shekel was increased by Chazal to the sela, which was used in their time. So a kolbon is a fee of 1/24, or just over 4%. The Rambam writes that the kolbon was never less than this amount, which implies that it would be more than a chatzi ma'ah if the value given as the machzit ha-shekel was more than half a sela. Recall from Perek Aleph that the value given as machzit ha-shekel would change based on the currency in use in every time and place. The Rambam seems to mean that the kolbon is always 1/24 of the value of the machzit ha-shekel. But the simple reading of the Mishnah at the end of the first parak of Masechet Shkalim is that the kolbon is a fixed amount of half a ma'a, no matter how much is given as machzit ha-shekel. What does Hekdesh do with all the kolbonot they receive? These are not put in the lishka together with the collected half shkalim, but rather are set aside separately and used for the general needs of Hekdesh. Halacha Chet begins with the words, Mi sha'avad shiklo chayav v'achrayuto ad shimisrenu la'gizbar. If someone separates in machzit ha-shekel, but it gets lost before it reaches the hands of the gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh, then he must replace it. The rest of this halacha, and the next one, discuss cases in which a group of people, the B'nai Ha'ir, send their machzit ha-shekel coins with a courier, and they are lost or stolen on the way. B'nai Ha'ir sheshalchu et shiklehem biyad shaliach v'nignavu o avdu, im shomer chinam hu, harei ze nishba lehem v'niftar, kidin kol shomer chinam, v'in chozrin v'notnin shiklehem pam shnia. V'im amru anshei ha'ir, ho'il v'anu mishalmin, ein ritzoneinu shishava shaliach shu neman lanu, ein shomin lehen, takanat chachamim hi, she'ein hekdesh yotzei b'lo shvua. If the courier is a shomer chinam, meaning he isn't being paid to guard the coins as he transports them, who is not liable in cases of theft or loss, then he takes a shvua that the money was stolen or lost as per the usual din of a shomer chinam. The B'nai Ha'ir have to give shkalim a second time, as their first never made it to Hekdesh, and so they are still on the hook to donate machzit ha-shekel. We'll see in the next halacha that there is another factor which is also relevant here. Even if the B'nai Ha'ir wish to exempt the Shomer Chinam from his Shvua, because they believe him, and in any event they have to pay a second time, they have no right to do so. Chazal required that whenever money is lost, which belongs to or is meant for Hekdesh, the relevant party must take a Shvua to explain the circumstances. This was a takana to ensure that appropriate care is taken with Hekdesh money. What happens if the lost or stolen Shkalim are subsequently retrieved? Continuing in Halacha Chet, Nimtzu ha-shkalim ha-rishonim achar sh'nishba ha-shaliach eilu ve'eilu shkalim ve'ein olin lehen l'shana acheret ve'rishonim yiplu l'shikle ha-shana ve'achronim yiplu l'shikle shana sh'avra. Both sets of shkalim, the original ones and the replacements, go to Hekdesh in this case. One set is counted among this year's collection, and the other is added to the remains of the previous year's collection. We'll learn in the next parak about the different uses which can be made of this year's collection and of the previous years. Which set goes to which year's collection? At the end of Halacha Tet, referring both to our case and a similar case which comes up there, the Rambam writes that there are two schools of thought regarding this question. The shkalim which are added to this year's collection are either the ones which were sent the first time, or whichever ones make it to the gizbar first. In a rare display of indecisiveness, the Rambam does not decide between these two opinions. Some Noshei Kelim understand the Rambam to mean that because both opinions have merit, the Gizbar may put either set with this year's Shkalim and the others with last year's Shkalim. Other Rishonim, including the Meiri, conclude that the Shkalim which reach the Gizbar first go with this year's collection and the others with last year's. Halacha Tet. Shalchu et shiklehem biyad shomer sachar. שהרי הוא חייב בגניבה ולידה, ועבדו ממנו באונס, כגון שלקחום ליסטים מזוינים, שהוא פטור, רואין, אם אחר שנתרמה התרומה נאנס, נשבע השליח לגזברין, ובני העיר פטורין, שהתורם תורם על הגבוי ועל העתיד לגבות, וברשות הקדשן, ובני העיר מה היה להן לעשות? הרי לא מסרום אלא לשמר שכר, שהוא חייב בגניבה ובידה, אבל האונס אינו מצוי. What if the בני העיר sent the שקלים not with a שומר חינם, but with a שומר שכר, who is liable in a case of theft or loss? Clearly, if the shkalim were stolen or lost in a normal manner, then the shomer sachar must compensate the loss, and the b'nei ha'ir don't give additional shkalim like in the last case. But what if the shkalim were stolen or lost due to ones, like if they were stolen by armed bandits against who the shomer sachar has no recourse? In this case, the shomer sachar isn't liable, so did the b'nei ha'ir have to give a second time? It depends on whether the first Trumat HaLishka, the process we learned about in the last perek, which took place three times a year, was performed before the ones or not. Recall that the Trumat HaLishka is done with intent that the shkalim which are placed in the three small boxes are being taken not only from all the coins in the Lishka at the time, but also from those which will get to the Lishka later. This intent essentially transforms all the coins of the B'nai Ha'ir into the property of Hekdesh, because the Trumat HaLishka covers them. So if the Trumat HaLishka was done before the Ones, then the Ones occurred when the coins already belonged to Hekdesh, and therefore the B'nai Ha'ir don't have to pay a second set of Shkalim. Why don't we say the same thing in the case of the Shomer Chinam from Halacha Chet and exempt the B'nai Ha'ir if the Trumat HaLishka was done before the coins were stolen or lost? The Rambam answers that in that case, the B'nai Ha'ir were negligent in sending their Shkalim with a Shomer Chinam who has very low liability and therefore minimal responsibility. They should have sent the coins with a Shomer Sachar. So when they send with a Shomer Chinam, they are chayav to pay again, even if the Trumat HaLishka was already done. We note that other Rishonim, including Rashi, do not make this distinction, and they exempt the B'nai Ha'ir from paying a second set of Shkalim whenever the Trumat HaLishka was done before the first Shkalim were lost, even if the courier was a Shomer Chinam. Continuing in Halacha Tet, V'im avdu kodem shintruma ha'truma, עדיין ברשות בני העיר הן, והשליח נשבע לאנשי העיר, והן משלמים, נשבע וגבו שקלים שנית, ואחר כך החזירו מהליסטים, אלו ואלו שקלים, ואין עולים להן לשנה אחרת, והשניים ייפלו לשקלי שנה שעברה. But even in the case of a Shomer Sachar, who lost the shkalim due to ones, if the ones occurred before the Trumat HaLishka was done, then like in the last case, the Shomer takes a Shavua and the B'nai Ha'ir must pay again. If the lost Shkalim are subsequently found, then as in the case of the Shomer Chinam, one set goes with this year's collection and the other with last year's. And we discussed earlier the two different opinions about which set goes with which collection. Halacha Yud. Hanotein chatzi shekel chavero lo licho lashulchani lishkol oto al yado. הלך ושקלו על ידי עצמו כדי שלא ימשכנו אותו, אם מתרומה תרומה מעל השוקל, שזה השקל ברשות הקדשו, שכבר תרמו על העתיד לגבות, ונמצא זה הציל עצמו במעון ההקדש ונענה בזה השקל. ואם לא נתרומה תרומה, לא מעל, והוא חייב ליתן לחברו חצי שקל שנתן לו. Suppose Reuven sends his machzit ha-shekel with Shimon to deliver to Hekdesh, and Shimon gives it instead as his own machzit ha-shekel so that Beit Din will not take a collateral from him. We saw in Perek Aleph that collateral is taken from anyone who does not give his machzit ha-shekel on time. Shimon clearly sinned, but what sin he is guilty of depends, as in the last halacha, on whether the Trumat HaLishka had already been performed before he gave the Machzit HaShekel to Hekdesh as if it were his own. If the Trumat HaLishka already took place, then the Machzit HaShekel already belonged to Hekdesh when Shimon gave it as his own. Thus, Shimon is getting Hana from Hekdesh, and so Shimon is Chayiv for Me'ila. Note an important point. The Mi'ila here is not that Shimon was Yotze his mitzvah of Machzit HaShekel with a coin that belonged to Hekdesh. Being Yotze a mitzvah does not qualify as Hana because of the principle that mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu, which we discussed in Hilchot Shofar. Rather, the Hana is that by giving this Hekdesh coin as if it were his own Machzeh Shekel, Shimon gets to hold on to whatever collateral would otherwise have been taken from him. If Shimon gave the money to Hekdesh before the Trumat HaLishka, when the coin still belongs to Reuven, then he stole from Reuven, not from Hekdesh. So there is no Mila, and Shimon has to pay back Reuven half a shekel. If one person just steals half a shekel from someone else and gives it to Hekdesh as his own Machzeh Shekel, then he is Yotze, because Hekdesh acquires the Machzeh Shekel through the combination of Yeyush and Shinui Rashut, which came up also in Hilchot Lulav Perek Chet. And he must pay back the person from whom he stole according to the usual halachot of Geneva and Gezela. Halacha Yud Aleph. Hanotein Machzeh Shekel min Hekdesh, min Trumat Truma, Kishi yistapku mimena yitchayev bimila, v'yatsa yidei machasit ha-shekel, netano mimaot maser sheni, yochal k'negdo b'Yerushalayim, midmei shvi'it, yochal k'negdo b'ktushat shvi'it, haya shel ira nidachat, lo asa klum. We'll start from the end and work backwards to the beginning, because the first case in Salacha is the most difficult one. If one gives money from an ira nidachat as his machasit ha-shekel, this is meaningless, because the money of an ira nidachat needs to be burnt. If he gave as his machzeh shekel money which has kedushat maser sheni or kedushat shvi'it, then he must spend the equivalent amount on food, which he then eats either as maser sheni, meaning he eats it in Yerushalayim, or in a manner consistent with kedushat shvi'it. We'll learn more about that in Hilchot Shmita V'Yovel. What if he gives as his machzeh shekel money which was already hekdesh? The Rambam writes that in this case, he is yotzei the mitzvah machzeh shekel, but he is chayav for mi'ilah when the money is eventually used to purchase some communal korban, or whatever other use is made of the specific machzeh shekel that he gave. There is a difficulty here. In the last halacha, the Rambam wrote that the moment of Trumat HaLishka is when the machzeh shekel becomes the property of Hekdesh, so Shimon is Moel at the moment he gives Reuven machzeh shekel as his own if this happened after Trumat HaLishka. So why in our halacha is there no Mi'ila until well after the Trumat HaLishka, when the money is used to purchase a communal korban? Many achronim suggest answers to this question, most of which have to do with the technicalities of how Mi'ila works, which are beyond the scope of our discussion. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his commentary Shekel HaKodesh on Hilchot Shkalim, suggests that the difference is based on the moment at which the use of Hekdesh to benefit oneself becomes irrevocable. When someone donates as his Machzeh Shekel money which is already Hekdesh, then his donation can always be revoked if it is discovered later that the money is indeed Hekdesh. Beit Din will return the Hekdesh money to where it came from and force the giver to donate Machzeh Shekel again. Therefore, the Mi'ila only occurs when this cannot happen anymore, that is, when the Machzeh Shekel is spent on a communal korban. But when Shimon gives Reuven's Machzeh Shekel as his own, this can never be revoked. Even if it is discovered soon afterwards that the Machzeh Shekel belonged to Reuven, Shimon will be required to pay Reuven back from his own pocket. But the Machzeh Shekel that Shimon gave will still count as his own donation. Therefore, the Me'ila occurs as soon as Shimon gives the Machzeh Shekel to Hekdesh, assuming that the Trumat HaLishka has already taken place, as we explained. We summarize the remaining halachot of the perek. Halachot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel list several cases in which someone is makdish money as his machzeh shekel, and it turns out that some or all of it is superfluous and not owed to hekdesh. The principle in all of these cases is that hekdesh ta'ut eino hekdesh, and therefore whatever he was makdish beyond what he is required to give does not have kedusha and may be used for any purpose. The last two halachot of the perek discuss cases where money is found on the ground between two boxes in which money is being collected for different causes. For example, if one box is a collection of machzeh shekel and the other box is a collection of ma'ot nedava, whose money will be used to purchase korbanot ola. To which box do we attribute the money found on the ground? There are two simple rules. One, if the money is found closer to one box than to the other, then it is assumed to belong to the closer box, and the specific purpose of the money in each box is irrelevant. Two, if the money is found exactly halfway between the two boxes, then it goes to the box whose collection purpose is more machmir. So in the example before of the boxes of machzeh shekel and ma'ot nedava, The money found in between would go to the second box, because ma'ot nedava are used to purchase korbanot ola, which are entirely burnt on the mizbeach, while machs d'shekel are used to purchase a variety of things needed in the mikdash. Because of the possibility that this money was intended for the more machmir end of being burnt on the mizbeach, we may not, in a case of doubt, assign it to the less chamor purposes associated with machs d'shekel. If one finds coins on Har HaBayit, he need not be concerned that these came from the Trumat HaLishka, and therefore are hektesh money which may not be used. The gizbar who takes Trumat HaLishka money always spends it immediately on animals for communal sacrifices, and the money itself becomes chulin, so the finder may keep this money and use it without any concern that it belongs to hektesh.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.